Blog Talk Radio.
Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street. Walking revolution, that's who I be. Al Porter, man in the street. Man is music activism, news, showcase artists and activist views. Rolling on Monday night, 8+ years. Blog Talk Radio, calming people's fears. 646-478-0944. Monday night, 9 to 10, Cleveland time zone. Cleveland Standard Time, Ivy front line. Emacs in his prime, Kilroy can rhyme. Read between the lines, black by design. Tell the truth time, here to drop a dime. Keep me a whistle, I'm the whistleblower. From Ukraine to my lane, White House know it. See something, say something. The motto, part two of the phrase, streets always know. For people found dead, inside a house. 6-year-old asleep, stray bullet took her out. Killers on the block, this is real deep. Be a whistleblower, get them off the street. Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street.
And welcome once again to Al Porter, Man in the Street, Chapter 11, Verse 6. And that M period, A period, N period is an abbreviation acronym for music activism and news. For those listening to 3342 Music on blogtalkradio.com, you can feel free to call in to 646-478-0944 like that 216-496 number did. As a matter of fact, if you have anything to send, music, commercials, send it MP3 format to emaxxradio@gmail.com. Three quick disclaimers. Disclaimer number one, you get info on this show, have pen, pencil, paper, laptop, desktop, smartphone for any and all info you hear. Disclaimer number two, if you hear something you don't like, don't blame Blog Talk or 3342 Music. Call and blame Boogie Me direct at 646-478-0944. I'll listen for as long as I can. Disclaimer number three, you may not want to talk, but I'm coming to your phone line and see what's on your mind. Can't talk, stay silent, and go back on hold. But if you change your mind, you can always call back, or if you hadn't done so earlier, press the one key. Now, I'm going to give you eventually a top 10 from a Monday to a Monday in music and entertainment, give you some announcements. But before I do, this person, whoever it is on the phone line, concerned me a little bit because they were on for so early, I'm almost compelled to talk to them to get them out of the way. So I'm going to go to 216-496, 216-496. How are you doing out there?
I think that's me. Hey, Al, it's Lee Weingart.
Wow. Okay. I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm great. I was calling in to get on the show and talk about my campaign for Cuyahoga County Executive, if you wanted to talk about that. And enjoyed being on your show last week and looking forward to tonight if there are any questions about my campaign for Cuyahoga County Executive.
I'm going to ask you the question, the million-dollar question right now is, why you, why now?
Why me, why now? So 25 years ago, I was a county commissioner, one of the last people to serve as county commissioner. Back then, Cuyahoga County was a prosperous county. We were growing in jobs and growing in population. So fast forward 25 years later, shrinking county. We're shrinking in population and shrinking in jobs. That's because Ingham County government is not putting everyday people first. They are putting the interest of the government and the elite ahead of the interest of ordinary people like you and me. So I'm getting back into government for 25 years so I can focus our resources where they really matter, in the neighborhoods, in the communities, helping with private housing, expand private housing, job creation, economic development, important issues that really matter to everyday people. And so I'm on the people's side, not on the side of the government or of the elites.
Well, I can appreciate that answer, and I'm sure a lot of people can, but I do need to ask you personally, since you took the time to call in, when you talk about resources, do we have any resources?
So we have a lot of resources. In 2020, Cuyahoga County got about $215 million in federal pandemic relief funding. And then last year and this year, an additional $240 million. That's $455 million in federal funds that should be used to invest in important one-time investments that can be intergenerational and really address issues like unemployment, poverty, hunger, and crime. And those are all problems in Cuyahoga County. So we don't lack for resources. We've got a county government that's got a lot of money, more than $200 million in excess cash right now, but no vision to invest it in the community, no vision to invest it to help people who are hurting because of the pandemic or because they've been left out from other programs and other opportunities over the years. So I'm going to focus those resources on job creation, as I mentioned earlier, on expanding private housing. I've got an initiative called 10,000 Homes for Cuyahoga County, which is a $600 million program, $100 million coming from Cuyahoga County, leveraging $500 million in private funding, private capital from banks, mortgage companies, and foundations to help 10,000 families, predominantly on the east side or in the first ring suburbs, build, buy, renovate, or repair a private home. Why is that important? Well, we know that having a private home ensures stability for a family and for the block and for the neighborhood. But it also creates an opportunity for that family to generate wealth. And when a family has wealth, it has the economic freedom and independence it needs to survive without having to rely on government programs. So I'm very focused on wealth generation in the inner city to provide economic freedom and independence to those who live there.
Wow, I thank you very much. I do thank you very much for that one, just because that is so important. And to have a high-powered guest calling into this radio program, I can appreciate it. I also want to ask you, it is like February, and as I look at my date and time and all of that, it is definitely February the 7th. And I'm going to ask you, when did you first decide and make a push to run for this seat as county executive? Was it in November of 2021, December? When did you first start pushing to run?
So, Al, I've been campaigning for almost a year now. I started the campaign in February of 2021, and I was very intentional where I had my initial focus for the campaign. That was on the east side of Cleveland. So way back when I was county commissioner in the mid-1990s, I lost my reelection in 1996 very narrowly. I won almost everything in Cuyahoga County except the east side, wards 1 through, at that point, 11, in Cleveland and some of the inner ring suburbs. So I decided I would start my campaign 25 years later in the place I did the worst when I ran back in 1996. While I was campaigning last year, I met a lot of good people who were being hurt by the pandemic. And so I've got a history of helping to raise money for good causes, and I put that history and experience to work last year. I raised about $400,000 to help keep 8 restaurants on the east side, all minority owned, in business, and help them grow their businesses this year. Raised $1.6 million to help Karamu House, the oldest black theater in America.
Wow.
The United Black Fund to start an entrepreneurship program for black entrepreneurs. And then the YWCA to help them fund their preschool program, which is the only one in Ohio that caters to the needs of homeless children. Then got $80,000 to put a new roof on the Harvard Community Services Center in Ward 1, because we know how important that center is to that neighborhood. So while I was campaigning, I was helping to raise money for good causes, making a lot of friends along the way.
That is very, very strong in itself. As a matter of fact, is it true that as an entrepreneur, in other words, you're talking about the fact that you brought more than $100 million and more than 1,000 jobs to Cuyahoga County?
I did that. So I started a small business back in 2002, so I know what it means to run a small business. And that business focuses on bringing in government funding for projects. And so we secured about $100 million for Cuyahoga County projects. Some of those projects are for advanced energy. Some are for advanced technology jobs, and some are just for regular jobs that we put downtown to help people who needed a first shot at getting an office job. And so those skills, I think, are very important for the next county executive. I've got some big plans for Cuyahoga County, and I want to use federal and state tax dollars that we already send to Washington, D.C. and Columbus, bring them back to Cuyahoga County and invest them in our neighborhoods and our people to create a better life for people in Cuyahoga County. And I've done that for 20 years for other clients, and I'll be happy to do it for Cuyahoga County as the next Cuyahoga County executive.
I can appreciate that so far. As a matter of fact, I want to at least go back and have a little bit of fun, because as Cuyahoga County Commissioner, I'm pretty sure you've had at least one or two. I know it can't be true. You did that you couldn't have governed without scandal during your time as Cuyahoga County Commissioner. Talk to us.
It seems almost quaint these days that we've had two county officials go to federal prison, and the current administration has got one person in jail and others who were indicted and convicted. So, unfortunately, for the last 25 years, since I left county government, there's been quite a bit of corruption and mismanagement and scandal. But when I was county commissioner back in the mid-90s, and I served with two good Democrats, Tim Hagan and Mary Boyle, there was no hint of corruption or malfeasance or malpractice in office. And I think we got along, and we got things done. One of the important things we got done was in 1995, the Browns were looking for a renovated stadium, and so there had been a sin tax put in place to pay for facilities for the Indians and the Cavaliers. We need to extend that sin tax to pay for a renovated or new stadium for the Cleveland Browns. So I led the charge from the county perspective to extend that tax, worked with then-Mayor Mike White on that project. The Sunday before the vote, Art Modell announced he was pulling out the team and going to Baltimore. So I'm sure he was thinking, well, if I announce I'm leaving for Baltimore, they won't extend that tax on Tuesday, and I'll blame them for why I left Cleveland. Well, Tuesday came, and we extended the tax all right by a margin of 72%.
Wow.
At that point, the biggest margin of any tax in Cuyahoga County history. Mike White and I used that as evidence with the NFL to bring the Browns back to Cleveland, which, of course, we know they came back in 1999. So that was an important project for Cleveland's psyche, you know, for the way we felt about ourselves. And the Browns didn't have a great year this year, but we are hopeful that they'll be back next year, and maybe next year will be our year to be at the Super Bowl.
I hear you with that. I also need to know, because a lot of people who are listening to this program will want to know that you managed to solve, as Cuyahoga County Commissioner, you solved a $120 million budget crisis without raising taxes?
That's correct. So when I came into office in 1995, the prior county commissioners and the county treasurer had lost about $120 million in an investment scheme that was ironically called SAFE, S-A-F-E.
I remember that.
We're facing a $120 million budget deficit, and there was pressure to raise taxes to close that deficit. But we said, that's not fair. We shouldn't blame the taxpayers of the county for the malfeasance of the treasurer's office. So instead of raising taxes, we really sharpened our pencils and cut spending quite a bit so that over the course of 2 years, we turned that $120 million deficit into a $40 million budget surplus without raising taxes. We did it by looking at spending and by encouraging some of our more senior employees to take an early retirement voluntarily, which they did. About 700 employees took a voluntary early retirement. And the savings from that payroll reduction were enough to balance the budget and keep the county moving forward. So ironically, we have the same challenge 25 years later in county government, where we probably have too many managers and supervisors, senior employees in the county who cost a lot of money, who are eligible for an early retirement buyout. And I'm told that most of them want to get bought out. So as county executive, I will work with the senior employees of the county to create a voluntary early retirement or buyout program, and we'll see how many we can convince to take the program. And then we'll go back and look at all the departments and say, how many people do we really need to run this department and make sure we deliver our critical services to the county citizens. It'll be less, I think, than the number who retire. And so we'll be able to reduce the cost of the payroll of the county, but take those savings and invest them right back into the community in my housing initiative, in job creation, and the small business formation initiatives, really, again, to help create wealth that starts and stays in the urban core of the county and the first ring suburbs of the county.
Wow. I'm going to have to, since I have you on the phone, I have to hit you with a couple of tough subjects. If I didn't,
sure,
some of the callers afterwards would probably be upset. And the tough subject happens to be you will be inheriting what has plagued officials for the past couple of years. Dead inmates at the county jail. A sheriff who found himself in legal hot water, sentenced other officials around the county jail, everybody except for the county executive, Armand Budish, although he's had his offices raided a couple of times in connection with the county jail. I've joined up with hundreds of people. We've done protests, gone to meetings. Do you see that you might be able to impact what problems we've had from a county sheriff's standpoint to a county jail? What do you see you being able to do that you're bringing to the table that nobody else is talking about? Because that's a serious subject.
It's a very serious subject. I think there are at least a couple things we can do to deliver better criminal justice that keeps our community safe, that also ensures equal justice for all people. The first thing is the county sheriff. So when I was county commissioner all those years ago, we had an elected county sheriff. And that sheriff was accountable to the citizens of Cuyahoga County. When I was county commissioner, no one died in the county jail. And over the course of when we had an elected county sheriff, very few people died in the county jail. So fast forward to the new reform county government with an appointed county sheriff, that 13 people die in the last 4 years in the county jail. I think if the sheriff were elected and accountable to the people, that sheriff would do a better job of managing the jail, and there'd be far fewer deaths than we've seen the last 4 years. So an elected sheriff, more accountable to the citizen, and runs a better jail with fewer people dying. Secondly, when it comes to the jail itself, there's a plan on the table right now to spend $1 billion over 20 years to build a jail that is too big and too expensive. So in round numbers, the current capacity of the jail is about 1,700 defendants. The county wants to build a jail that could be as big as 2,400 defendants. That, in my estimation, is too big. In 2020, during the pandemic, the county released a lot of the nonviolent defendants who were in the county jail and got the population down to about 1,000. 1,000 worked in 2020. Why doesn't 1,000 work in 2022 or 2023?
Wow.
If we're going to have a new jail or renovate the jail, we should think about a smaller jail, 1,000 to maybe 1,200 defendants as the capacity. And then we have a very serious focus on diversion. So first, any nonviolent arrestee should never be put in the county jail. That person should get a court summons, be sent on his way, and then come into court, you know, to be arraigned at the appropriate time. Secondly, any arrestee who has a mental health or addiction challenge should be diverted, not to the jail, but to treatment. And we've got a 50-bed treatment center the county created last year that's still not being used to its full capacity. As county executive, I would ensure that those who are arrested with behavioral health challenges like mental health and addiction and who are not dangerous, are diverted to the treatment center and not put in the county jail. So I think with an elected sheriff, a smaller jail, and using diversion, we can save the taxpayers money, we can keep our community safe, and we can ensure equal justice for all people.
You know, that's tough questions and some tough answers, but I need to dig deeper a little bit because
sure.
People like a different subject, but one that has affected people. Former council candidate Dontez Taylor spending the night outside of Department of Children and Family Services alongside Donna Walker Brown, the first five-star field general for Black-Owned Black Crime Incorporated. Many other groups that were out there, the Department of Children and Family Services, Fathers Lives Matter, just too many others, people who joined us during the daytime protests, such as Michael Garrett, because of Anaya Day Garrett. We were out there and spent the night on behalf of Tanasia McLeod and others. Your role in there, how can we fix the Department of Children and Family Services?
So we have a lot of challenges, I think, in the Department of Children and Family Services. And for your listeners, the county is responsible for foster care, for adoption, for child placement, and for child welfare. So I think if you look at foster care and adoption, right now there is a bias toward putting children with blood relatives of the mother of the child. And that's been the traditional approach. My view is it's much more important that a child be placed in a permanent loving home. And that could be with someone who's not a blood relative to the child. If we find a secure, strong, loving home for a child for foster care or adoption, we ought to prioritize that over putting that child in the home of a blood relative. So I think the important thing is permanency and a stable, loving home. And then the least important thing, the less important thing, is having a blood relative raise that child. Now, on child welfare, the county last year began a good program. It's called Canopy. This is a more comprehensive approach on child welfare, so child abuse and child neglect. This brings in many systems, you know, Children and Family Services, the healthcare systems in the county, law enforcement, social services, and other agencies for a more holistic approach to detect and stop child abuse and child neglect. Historically, we've had silos of information that have not talked well to each other. The county invested last year in the Canopy program. It's limited in the resources, and they're only right now focusing on children who are sexually abused and under 12 years of age. I'd like to expand the Canopy program, so bring in all these systems, again, Children and Family Services, the hospitals, law enforcement, social services, and apply that to all children at risk of abuse and neglect. I think if you have this comprehensive approach, will do a much better job of reducing the incident of abuse and neglect in Collier County.
I can definitely believe that. You do need to add one more thing before I let you go. I definitely want to ask you, is it true that you've already been working with different council people and organizations within our region, in our county?
I have been, yeah. So last year when I was helping organizations like the restaurants, for example, I worked very closely with Joe Jones in Ward 1, which, of course, is the Lee-Harvard area, and with Kevin Conwell in Glenville, Ward 9. And so in Ward 1, Joe Jones, and Ward 9, Kevin Conwell and I went out and knocked on restaurant doors and said, hey, here we are. There's a great federal and state program to help your restaurant stay in business and thrive during the pandemic. And we ultimately got 16 restaurants to apply for funding, and we didn't charge anything. This is a free service I offered with Joe Jones in Ward 1 and Kevin Conwell in Ward 9. We were very active walking the streets, talking to restaurateurs, getting the message out. So that was a bipartisan effort. I'm a Republican. Of course, they're Democrats. But the local level, I don't think party is nearly as critical as in Columbus or in Washington, D.C., because we have to solve problems at the local level that don't really relate to your party. We get a lot of money from the federal government and the state government, and we have to apply those funds in a way that helps the most people we can with that money. So I've had a career 20 years now working with Republicans and Democrats to solve problems. As county executive, I'll have a Democratic majority county council. I'll work with that county council on the issues that we talked about tonight to, you know, give the priority to everyday people and not to the government and not to the elite. So investing in neighborhoods, investing in people to improve the lives of everyday people.
I can appreciate that approach. It is a very excellent and philosophical approach. My last thing coming up to ask you before we leave out this evening with a little bit of a surprise for you is the fact that you've been involved and funded clean energy, urban revival and security, and advanced technology projects. What caused you to be involved in that?
Well, you know, I started my company back in 2002, and it's a government relations company. And so what we do is help our clients access money for projects. So a really good project we worked on in the city of Cleveland, a client of ours called ShotSpotter. So they've got a system, they use sensors to detect gunshots in a neighborhood and work with them to place their system in part of the 4th District in Cleveland, which is one of the most dangerous parts of the city of Cleveland. And that system detected a lot of gunshots. In at least 4 cases we're aware of, the system detected the gunshot, notified the Cleveland police, and they arrived at the scene in time to save the lives of 4 people who were shot. Without that system, it's very unlikely those 4 people would have lived, because the alternative is citizens calling 911. And for a lot of reasons, people in Cleveland and other communities don't call 911 anymore. So rather than rely on citizens to call 911, this system is in place to alert the police when gunshots have been fired. As I said, it saved 4 lives. It's also resulted in getting evidence that can be used in criminal cases. So really working to keep Cleveland safer with technology, I think that's a very important thing. And then focusing on opportunities to bring jobs to Cleveland. In fact, my first client back in 2002 was a company that was moving jobs from San Diego to Cleveland in the middle of the winter, which is saying something when you know you compare the weather in San Diego and Cleveland in January. That company brought about 300 jobs to downtown Cleveland in the Terminal Tower area. These were office jobs. People didn't have college educations. But it was, in many cases, the first opportunity these employees had to work in an office environment. It got them good, you know, information on their resume that they could then take out into the world and in their next job. So, to me, it's very important that we concentrate jobs in the inner city, in the urban core, in the first ring suburbs, because that's where most unemployed people in the county live. So we can replicate that project that I did back in 2002 by putting more jobs in the urban core in the first-ring suburbs. Will help those who are unemployed get jobs, generate income, generate wealth, and economic independence and freedom for their families.
You know, you made it so hard for me to be mean to a person who's running for office. So with that being said, you're more than welcome. I'm going to at least give you 2 minutes to close out any way you want to, and then give your information on how people can look you up and be a part of support, join in, or promote your campaign. You've got a 2 minutes.
Thank you. So,
you're welcome.
Lee Weingart, running for Cuyahoga County Executive. My website is www.weingart2022.com. That's WEINGART2022.com. So I'm running. I've been out of office for 25 years, but I've gotten frustrated. I've seen the county fall apart, degrade. I've seen the city of Cleveland degrade from where it was when I was county commissioner. Cleveland is the poorest big city in America. It's the seventh most dangerous city in America. And Cuyahoga County isn't much better. It's in the bottom 25% of all counties in America when it comes to safety. I think we need to attack crime at its roots. And that means putting more resources and more jobs in the inner city and the first ring suburbs. So if we can help families generate wealth through private home ownership, by steering companies to come into the city of Cleveland where they can expand and grow and add more workers, and then have a separate program, a $10 million program for urban entrepreneurship to encourage the formation and growth of small businesses in Cleveland and the first ring suburbs, we can create the opportunities and the resources that are needed for families in the inner city. And when families own homes and they have jobs, they don't tend to commit crimes. So I am very committed as the next county executive to invest where we need the investment the most, which is the inner city and the first ring suburbs. I'm also very committed to not raise taxes. I said I will not raise the county portion of the property tax during my term as county executive. I'm going to offer seniors on fixed incomes property tax relief as well. If you are over 60 years old and have less than $50,000 a year of household income, we're going to reset the taxable value of your home to the pre-2021 level, because we know last year there were massive increases in taxable values of homes. We're going to freeze that value, the taxable value of the home, until it sells or transfers. So that will give seniors who are on fixed incomes more certainty on the cost of property taxes going forward. I have a lot of ideas. I'm campaigning and have been for more than a year. It's great to be back on the campaign trail. I've met so many good people. So I hope people will go to my website, and then, of course, hope they'll vote for me in November, Lee Weingart for Cuyahoga County Executive.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. As I put you on hold to go on with the rest of the show, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call this portion the Major Taps Show. And the reason being is because Major Taps, he is a proprietor, business proprietor. He also has an artist that's one of his favorites, from the Kai Dog Crew, Brother Suave. I'm going to at least play a particular song and dedicate it to you just because of the work that you did with a particular Cleveland sports team. So, Brother, hey, Lee Weingart, it's been a pleasure having you here. I'm going to
Thank
at least
you,
play
Adam.
90. No problem. I'm going to at least put you on hold and play at least 90 seconds of this particular song, dedicated to you and your campaign. And for the people out there, like I say, Major Taps is a big fan of this artist. I am too. Let's listen to some Dog Nation.
Welcome, out-of-town fans and NFL teams, to our fine city of Cleveland. My name's Sputnik, and I'll be your host. for today's professional butt whooping.
Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation. Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation.
Let us welcome everybody to the Cleveland Brown Show. Dog Pound and Suave Gotti, the sweetest combo. Eating Blackbird Ravens while riding a Bronco. And a Charger to us ain't nothing but a 9-volt. See the Cleveland force like Obi-Wan Kenobi, Trayvon Coley, Larry Ogunjobi. Our defenders are fat boys, screaming in jail. Exhale, inhale, equalizer Denzel. Ward on the set, Jason Treader is a threat. Chris Hubbard and Danny Vitale, put him in check. Antonio Callaway receiving the wide. David knows who about to slide. Carlos Hyde with my Cleveland crew. We got cages for you Bengals and you Panthers and your Lions. It's the Cleveland Zoo. Just meet us on the field. We don't talk, we ball. And your balls ain't long enough to walk with dogs.
Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation. Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation.
A brown and orange and white stripes. The C-Town lights, getting the Cleveland crowd hype. I'm Bernie, I'm Brian Sykes. Get the gurney after the hype. Hut one, hut two, busting through any line. It's the Cleveland crunch crew. Can ride the Cleveland connoisseur of the art of war. And I run with carnivores that can show you how to score. Anytime, any place, anywhere, in your face. We the dogs of the state, and we came to penetrate any front line. It's crunch time, better get the game tight. We go flame like we dogs up the chain, right? You know it, yeah. And I got a poet flow. See you in Mars, Cleveland Browns. We came to overthrow. Moving like a locomotive through the county. Cuyahoga, where my brownie. Bust that dog like where the pounds be. East, see the west side, they surround me.
Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation. Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Dog Nation, Dog Nation. Swear to God, you don't want no confrontation.
Hugh Jackson of the...
Since I have so many phone callers on the phone lines that I need to get to, let's go with the 216-412 who's been on for a little while. 216-412, how you doing out there?
What's up?
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Shout out. Hey, Major Test Time Show. Major Test Time. Dog Nation. Shout out to
yes,
Leon,
indeed.
Man. May you, man, if you legit guy and get in there, may you do the right thing. What you said you did on this, what you said you're going to do on this radio show, make sure you do that. I haven't met you yet, though. I wish you the best on your, you know, success in your, you know what I'm saying, election, you know, that you know what I'm saying, potentially, you know what I'm saying, just be for the people, you know. So shout out to
I
you.
I hear you.
Shout out to Suave Gotti, you know what I mean? You know, of course, that's the godfather, you know.
Yes, sir.
BMA. Oh, Cowboy, man. I'm sorry, because look. man. As much as I was talking, like, last time I was on here, I was talking about this event. And I was
right,
so
you sure did.
I wanted to go so bad. I did. I was there. I pulled up. And everybody was
yes, you
I
did. I saw you. We were leaving out. We were leaving out when
yeah,
you pulled
man,
up.
I thought this thing was going to go on to like 12 o'clock or something. So, you know, you know, making tell you making rounds and stuff. Like, last time I'm coming and stuff like that. Though, unfortunately, I came a bit too late. And, you know, I missed out on, you know what I'm saying, the event, though I did. Was able to reach back out to with the Cowboy and tell him and you know his wife though happy anniversary. That's the main important thing, because first of all, it's just it's come out and just supporting and stuff, you know.
Yes,
so I'm happy anniversary to you guys. You guys keep going on strong, like you said, and like I said before and stuff. You guys are a prime example of Brian's Love Matter. So congrats to you. So man, I'm just disappointed that I wasn't able to make the full event though. But I did show up, just to let you know.
Yes, you did. You was witnessed by myself and a few other people. AYD, Commentary Cleveland. It was witnessed that you made it through. But what else is on your mind, brother?
Shout out to Commentary. I have to address this issue.
Okay.
You know, it's really not an issue anymore, because it really should never even been an issue. Though I have to address, like, a few months back when I went on your radio show, I addressed some stuff about a situation that occurred with Leo Nation.
Okay.
Yes. Hold on. I want to look. Oh, look. Yes. What I have to address on that issue is that, shout out to Lady T, first of all. I'll let you know there's no beef between me and her. There's definitely no beef between me and her and stuff. And, you know what I'm saying, talking to her and reaching back out to her, you know what I'm saying, seeing her point of view, where she was coming from, and then, you know what I'm saying, addressing where I was coming from with the situation and stuff like that. We definitely came to understanding and stuff like that. And yes, you know what I'm saying, it came to the fact where, you know what I'm saying, I said some things out of way to her, toward her, you know what I'm saying, out of a misunderstanding toward her, basically because of a negative energy that was in the room that day. So I reacted to the simple point of the fact that it was a negative energy in that room that day. You know what I mean? You know, so I had to like, you know what I'm saying? With Major Tap, like, I feel like, I put like this. I'm not, I could go there, but I'm not like, I'm not the person just to just, you know what I'm saying, go at somebody and just lash out at somebody though. But when I'm feeling like, I don't know what's going on, I'm being disrespected and stuff, I have to hold my ground. I'm not saying that Lady T disrespected me, because it wasn't her. It definitely wasn't her.
She was actually trying to dissolve
the situation and stuff. It was just how the words were exchanged and things of that nature and stuff. That's where the misunderstanding came, you know. And a lot of that was because of, you know, her former, you know, co-host on a radio show. Well, she has a nice show. Everybody tune in every first Saturday in a month to the Table Talk. You know, I was just, you know, some research on there. It's a, you know, she got topics. It's not just,
yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Yeah, you know. So basically, what I'm saying is, but once we talked it out, and you know, I learned what was going on and stuff, you know, so she's coming like, man, I don't like how, you know, so I was like, I was disrespected and stuff, and I was basically on dissolving the situation and stuff like that. She's like, you know, she came downstairs and stuff, seen a bunch of commotion and stuff, you know.
Right.
My thing is like, I feel like, you know, if you fam, like, family gonna take the fence over something, you know. Of course, you go, you know what I'm saying, roll with your, you know what I'm saying, roll with your family when it comes to, like, a certain dispute. You don't know the whole full story and stuff like that. I wasn't like, by the time, you know what I'm saying, all that had happened, she walked downstairs, you know what I'm saying, and she wanted to get me back in there. I bounced off because, like I said, homeboy was wilding. I understand.
Mm.
She told that. She basically what. What was going on with homeboy? You know what I'm saying? Like, these certain, like, substances we put in our bodies, you got to leave some things alone. Like, you know what I'm saying? People know, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do. I smoke marijuana, you know what I'm saying, though. I have control over it, though. You know what I'm saying? It's
a substance,
though. When you doing other type of substances outside of that, that's something different. And she addressed that. I'm not going to go into detail because I ain't here to cut a badge or embarrass nobody on here and stuff like that. I pray that brother get his stuff together and some help.
Amen.
So, like, that overreaction, that what he caused that day, that wasn't cool. It messed up a good thing with that day that we could have had, like I told her, you know what I'm saying? We could have had a nice, decent interview, you know? So all that, you know what I'm saying, escalated over some. It caused me to escalate, you know what I'm saying, and overreact to something that I shouldn't have, though. So with that being said, though, I apologize to Lady T on that situation when it came to that, because she was really actually caught in the middle of that, you know?
So,
you know,
does
and
that
Lady T be one of the ones that, like, while I be performing and stuff, she be the one like, all right, taps, be your thing, you know what I'm saying, taps and stuff like that. So the whole thing.
Wait.
Huh?
Are you saying that you plan on supporting February 26th, the BWE Entertainment presents Music and Business for the Soul Awards at Ken Ferguson Civic Center, 4701 Lee Road, B4, Cleveland, Ohio, 44128, where the late Mr. Ken Ferguson Sr. and family will be awarded as community activist, Ward 1 Councilman, Mr. Joe Jones, political, the late Mr. Melvin Milligrand Flowers, No Static Entertainment, Mr. Rob Rose Entertainment and Promotion, the late Aliana DeFries for the Youth, and the late Mr. Walter Hyde Entrepreneur. You'll be there?
Say it, no doubt. It's going to be an honor and it's going to be a privilege. First of all, shout out to the late Ken Ferguson. Man, I'm definitely going to have to show up facts because of the simple fact that, like, I personally know Ken Ferguson. Like, he was, one of my mentors, first of all. You know, I'm just finding out that it was actually there. I just got wind of, you know what I'm saying, the whole showcase, basically, as far as with, the location, you know what I mean? Now that I know that it's there, I'm definitely showing up. And then at the same time, though, you know what I'm saying, like I told Lady T, like, this is, like, this is 2022. You know what I'm saying? Let's move on. You know what I'm saying? Stay positive and stuff, you know? And she like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was never no beef. She said, she even said, she don't got no beef with me. Like, I definitely don't got no beef with her and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, though, when it came to the disrespect and stuff like that, I like, I apologize to her. But it's like, yeah, you was caught in the middle of that, you know what I'm saying? And it should never happen, you know what I'm saying? Because I always do my best, like, to stay on a professional level. Shouts to her, her son too, man. He got some things going on too.
Yes,
you know
he does.
What I'm saying? Like I had to like tell him like I ain't come out disrespecting your mom and stuff like that. And like I respect him because you know what I'm saying. When it comes to like a mother's love and stuff like that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because me and him like we, you know, hit me up like what's going on with the whoop and everything, such though. But it's like the thing is though, it's a small world though. The simple fact that, you know, I'm cool with her nephew, Reese. Reese hit me up on this. If you know who Reese is, Reese has been out of the hip-hop workshop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Look at Reese. He's part of Global Entertainment. You know what I'm saying? He's doing some things, you know what I'm saying, over there. You know? He hit me up. You know what I'm saying? It was like, what's up? You know? You know, he just like, everybody need to just, you know what I'm saying, stay positive on don't need to be on no nonsense, basically.
Thank you so
like
much.
That. You know what I'm saying? He said, like, his aunt, you know what I'm saying, felt like, you know what I'm saying, I came on this and stuff, I spent my portion, dog. Like, basically, it was definitely a misunderstanding to the point where, you know what I'm saying, I was accused of something that I did not do. You know what I'm saying? When she came downstairs, she like, what's going on? Like, it was like, I don't feel like how it was addressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that. But at the same time, I reacted to the simple fact that, you know what I'm saying, homeboy in the back, like, I told him, like, come on, let's talk, you know what I'm saying, come on, we're like, what's you tripping for, like, dude, like, ain't, you know, like, ain't, like, nothing like that never even happened, like, I did not disrespect your mother, bro, you know what I'm saying, like, facts, though, so I don't know where she coming off at, like, facts, though, I'm going to say this, though, I would like an apology from Jazz and the mother, but, like, I ain't even pressed for it, though, they can do it, they can, though, but at the same time, though, I'm not even on that, though, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you so much for that.
So, like I said, I walked on, like, my thing is, though, you know what I'm saying, we got to do better in our communities. We got to support each other. That's what something that Lady T said, you know what I'm been saying. We got to support each other, though. I most definitely would be in the building, you know, February 26th. We moving on forward, you know. Hopefully, you know
before
what I'm saying,
you
like
go,
huh?
And before you go, I will push out the fact that you already said you'll be a part of the Black House Sound Dinner Performances Awards.
Oh, no, that's going down.
All walks
like
of
March,
life
March
concert.
It's like a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, man, we don't got time for the nonsense and stuff. Let's you know what I'm saying, better ourselves, get successful, you know what I'm saying. Let's get this bread. Like, let's network, you know what I'm saying, support. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate
let's support.
That.
We're going to do that. You know what I mean? Like I said, like I said, even though I showed up late to the, I ain't show up on time to the, what's your name? But the Cowboys event, him and his wife, Monica, you know. So at
right.
the same time, I also came through though, and like I said,
did.
Support. I let it be known and stuff like that. And like I said, I'm pissed off right now. I wasn't able to be there.
Hey, I'm going to do my best to get the last.
Everything. I was gonna bring the shoes out and everything. A special thing for them though. Best
we'll do
though.
What we
they
can
do
to get you.
Year.
Into those performances for possibly February 26th and March 11th at the Mediterranean Party
man,
Center.
Man, it's about to happen, man. For Party ENT, man, everybody stay positive. Keep y'all head up, man. Better yourselves, man. We ain't got time for no nonsense, man. You see what the, you know, see this system trying to do to us, man. Come on. We don't got time for that nonsense, man. Shout out to
thank you,
Leo Nation. You know what I'm saying? We going to do this, man. Like, real life. 100, though. Like I said, no disrespect at all, you know, no beefs, none of that. It's over with. It's over with. Let's make it happen. And I pray that, you know what I'm saying, the brother, you know what I'm saying, better himself and everything, get back in tune, man. I ain't about to down him. I ain't about to criticize him. I said what I said, you know what I'm saying, on the last thing and everything. It's dead.
You
know what I'm saying? Let's get it and let's make it, you know what I'm saying, happen, you know what I'm saying.
Reach
back
out
to the fam. Yeah. All right.
Appreciate you. No problem. I'll do what I can to see about and get my last couple of phone callers out of here. Oh, this ought to be an easy one. It's a 601-513 number. Should only take a couple of minutes for me to tell them that I'm not with the, I don't have any money for the Blue Lives Pack or muscular dystrophy or a couple of other things that they hit me with, like the Firefighters Fund. I see that 601-513. Scam call got through, but that's okay. Let me go to 601-513. How you doing out there?
Hey, man, you tickle me every time, man. You know, dang road this is. Jesus Christ. For the ones that don't know, every time you hear a 601 area code, this is your presidential candidate for 2024, Michael D. Landenham. Give me a minute and 20 seconds. This
that,
is
man.
A direct message. I appreciate it. This is for President Biden. Your numbers are tanking. The people are tired of waiting of your promise. Now, if you want to make your first term worth something, instead of thinking about doing the second term, share my story, LandenhamCase.com. I'm a presidential candidate for 2024, and from what Donald Trump did to me in 2020, has not been answered. You claim that you're for the American people, then do it. You claim that you're a Catholic and you believe in God's true beliefs for all people, then do it. But blocking my story is not going to make you win 2024, because I promise you, I am not giving up. I'm not going to give up. Black people have been praying for 400 years for a miracle such as what I'm trying to deliver, unity of this nation. That black people be treated as human beings and as Americans. This president doesn't have the foresight, their insight, in order to do that. Because for 3 years, I've been actively trying to get my story out of what happened between me and Donald Trump. And not one word from President Biden. So now, I'm asking humbly. Because me running for the highest office in the land is bigger than myself. And it should be bigger than him. And in order to save our democracy, my story is that. And if you don't do it, then it's okay. I have another bump to go over. But my goal is to unite all Americans, black and white. And with each and every one of your help, that can help me out, I greatly appreciate it. And thank you for allowing me to speak. But to President Biden, do what is right for the American people by sharing the truth about what happened between me and Trump. If not, live by the sword or die by it. It's up to you.
Thank you so much. That was such a deep and powerful message from the official 2024 presidential candidate. I'm going to go to 216-424 and leave off with that before I do and close down the show. 216-424.
Well, Black House Sound, the founder of Black House Sound, I heard a lot of awesome things today. I heard a lot of stuff that don't concern me. I'm happy ain't no heat on me. But at the same time, I hope everything be resolved and worked out in a positive way, because these are some great positive people that I've been hearing about today. The reason that I'm calling is because, once again, I'm the founder of Black House Sound. Black House Sound have a dinner performance award for March the 11th, 2022. That will be 8 to midnight. Tickets been selling, so I just like to let everybody know on the phone. Only 50 people can attend. If you want me to explain, I have no problem with that. Part of that $20, you will get a meal, okay? And I'm talking about the full course meal. And so that's why the capacity is only holding 50 people. And so to let you people know, we already sold about half of them, and we're running out of time. So if there's something that you would like to do, you would like to be involved, you can always reach me, Joseph Motley Jr. Porter will be happy to let y'all know the number. If you comfortable with reaching the sheriff, you can reach him. And if you want to reach Carl Powers, you can reach him. If you don't want to reach nobody and you just want to go to the headquarters, the Black on Black Crime headquarters on the Wednesday, check out the meeting and purchase a ticket. Other than that, don't want nobody to do nothing they don't want to do. If you want to attend next time, just root that we're going to have a great show. Like I say, we already successful now. We're going to stay successful, like the last caller was talking about running for president in 2024. Long as you believe in yourself and you start applying yourself, if it work out, great. If it don't, damn, it was a hell of a ride. And look how much fun and how much growth you got out of it. So once again, we're going to do great regardless. But if you folks feel like there's something that you want to attend, $20 a ticket. We're going to have performers there. We give an award to Mr. Ern Smith. I don't want to take up no more time because I know we're running out of time, and I would like to hear what's coming up next. Everybody have a great one. Black House Sound, make real Cleveland music, and thank you for your time. Peace.
Peace from that 216-424-0871 number, 424-0871 number. You can reach out to him directly for tickets. And what I'm going to do is end off everything and let people know from the top 10 from a Monday to a Monday in music and entertainment. Number 10, B-side, Tomorrow, Lyrical Rhythms, featuring Arrogant. Number 9, debuting, Micah, L.A., new music with Young Buck. He's making some power moves. Number 8, debuting, Facebook, Big 40, This Ain't the End concert, birthday party. Number 7, debuting on Facebook, For Lovers and Others, open mic. Number 6, moving up the actual Tannis, about 3 new singles. Number 5, moving up the YouTube page for Joseph Motley Jr. He's got 5 new songs out there, including that Past Years Ago and a couple of other solo songs, as well as one with Mr. Powers. He's got 5 new tracks up there. Number 4, moving up, Facebook, the Black Talk Table, which was last Saturday. They addressed a few things. Number 3, moving up, last Friday, Earport with Bigatron, Richie Carlisle. Number two, The Biggest Jump, was DJ Cowboy featured Miss Pulse Points. The three-year celebration that was yesterday at the Dialogue Center, baked chicken, fried chicken, greens with onions and tomatoes as garnish, the yams, mac and cheese. You had Leon Hope, Mr. Ronnie B. the Unforgiven, Brother Suave Gotti, a Sheriff Kilroy video shoot for Party on the Dance Floor, Brother Ted telling jokes. And number one, moving to the number one spot on Facebook, Al Porter's Hip Hop Workshop with Lyrical Storm. And also on Facebook, it was the Black on Black Crime Incorporated Hip Hop Workshop, number 220, and other events. I'll get to next week all the stuff that happened at the workshop. I'll leave you out with this particular thing, a book that I've been pushing. When you have a sitting judge on the 8th Court of Appeals Court, Judge Cornelius J. O'Sullivan, it'll probably just say Cornelius O'Sullivan, but the thing is, his book is called Feed the Hungry, The Complete Guide to Organizing a Community Meal. And the fact that he feeds citizens every month and has a book, a how-to manual to start your own kitchen and be able to feed the community, complete with a how-to guide, such as what is a community meal, getting permission, certain quotes, such as, it is inconceivable that in the richest nation in the world, we have 30 million people at risk of hunger. I believe that if we truly make a commitment as a nation, we can defeat hunger. That came from Bo Derek, finding a location, join the coalition. It's very interesting that he has so much information. The book, Feed the Hungry, The Complete Guide to Organizing a Community Meal, from Cornelius J. O'Sullivan. I'm fortunate to have my career. When you see that name on the ballot, you know who to roll with. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for being a part. It's been a blessing. Peace.